order the quarterly meeting for the pension board. Stand for the pledge, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Peggy, the roll call, please.
Charles Esposito.
Here.
Timothy Woolsey.
Here.
Andrew Brazalman. John Picard.
Here.
Robert Schroeder.
Well, we still have a quorum.
Yeah.
Schroeder was supposed to be sworn in today as well, but the city clerk is not available to do it this morning, so we'll have to have him come in a separate time, go to City Hall, and get pledged off. Or maybe he can come in to see you, Peg, right?
If I get the...
Yeah, okay.
Verbiage.
If he's ever over near...
Tell me?
If he's ever over near the City Hall, he can come in anytime.
Yeah. Minutes were distributed. Anybody have any comments with regard to them? Anybody want to make a motion to accept the minutes as read?
I'll make a motion
as
to accept.
Presented.
I'll second it.
Okay. Chris, you're up.
Thank you, sir. Before everybody is the financial report for the quarter. It was an interesting quarter earnings-wise. We had a real big start to the beginning of the quarter, and then a real negative end to the quarter. But overall, it still was positive. Uh-huh. Mr. Schroeder.
Is that the 123,894?
Yeah, that's the net. That's the net of what we received.
For the month?
For the quarter.
Oh, for the quarter.
Yeah. Okay. We October and November quarter. Actually had quite a bit of earnings, and then December we gave a good chunk of it back. Uh-huh. So but it ended positive, so that's
okay.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like Christmas shopping.
Yes, it's like Christmas shopping. In the expenditures section, I kind of broken things out a little bit more here. The regular pension distributions, which is the first line, that's just everybody's normal defined benefit payment.
Mm-hmm.
The second line, the administrative expenses, that relates about three or four pages in, that relates to this new budget tracking that we had talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And we can, you know, we'll start to see now on the budget tracking sheet, the far right columns are the budget for the year and whether we're over or under budget as far as where we are. Those mm-hmm. are the two far right columns, and obviously we're well under budget because we just really started the year.
What is the annual fee that we pay to them?
The
legal and
the plan administration legal fee?
Yeah, don't we have an annual fee that we pay them and then for extra work besides that?
The league?
A flat fee.
The league?
Legal. No, to the lawyer. To Scott.
No, it's billed per hour.
It's hourly.
It's billed per hour.
It's billed per hour. Yeah, Scott bills us per hour.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a lot per hour. But it's
Well,
since he's not here, let's talk some smack about Scott. No.
Okay.
It's by the hour. So anyway, so this is one of the new reports that we'll see every quarter, kind mm-hmm. of doing our budget tracking.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third line in the expenditures, I kind of broke out the share plan distributions for the retirees, just so we can see those as they're going out. They all went out, I think, in the month of November or December. For the first round went out, and then the second round is going out in January, February time frame. So we'll see that on the next right.
They already paid that out.
Yep. We'll see that on the next quarter, and basically 99% of the retirees will have been paid out their share mm-hmm. plan mm-hmm. portion by the end of the next quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we only have the one investment account now. Everything's consolidated in the Florida League of Cities investment account.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few invoices for legal fees and actuary costs. And since Doug's is the biggest, I think we can pick on him today.
Okay.
Have at it.
That's fun.
Yeah. And then So I'll look for approval on those for board consideration. Doug's going to go over the actuarial reports that he has with him today. Mm-hmm. And he also recently sent us an email, which was circulated around for the share plan distribution update. That update is attached to this package that I gave everybody. Mm-hmm. But Doug has the actuarial reports and related.
When you talk about the update, you're talking about the 2015
September 30th, 2015.
The share plan.
Yes.
Added then to the share plan that we distributed up to 2014.
Right. It's basically the latest and greatest balances as of September 30th, 2015.
Yeah. Which means that they are distributable now to those, I guess, it banked for them in their accounts. Okay.
And that's it. We didn't have any new retirees in the quarter. It was actually pretty quiet as far as that goes. Most of it was really going through the financial audit, which is just about complete with the city auditors and Doug's work, and that's basically where we are.
I'll make the motion to approve the three pending invoices.
All in favor?
Aye.
So done. You're done, Chris.
I am done, unless you guys have any questions about what's attached.
We have no legal review. The only thing I can say is I'll come to that later. There's no legal issue for it. New business, and we're getting into either the share plan balances, which you've got in your report here, for 2015. And that information is pertains mostly now to just the active members.
Charlie, I think it's, and I don't mean to take anything from you that you were going to talk about, Doug, but when you look particularly at the top section of this report, you know, we had some questions about, you know, how the forfeitures and the interest and things like that, or in this case, negative interest, would be allocated. And you can kind of see that in column M and N of this report, where, you know, there's a portion of any of the forfeitures was reallocated to all the, you know, basically active accounts, and a portion of this case, you know, some accumulated
forfeitures. You mean people who left before being vested and were redistributed?
Right. On the second page of Doug's report, you can see those forfeitures. Mm-hmm. There were three people. Yeah. Those were the forfeiture amounts. That total of forfeitures was a little under 18,000. Mm-hmm. And that was redistributed back through this forfeiture column M here to the active accounts. And then again, kind of the portion of the net return was also allocated to those accounts. In this case, it was a negative because of the way the market was. But so you can see that if there's a negative in the market, it will decrease those share accounts. If it's a positive, it would increase. And generally, the forfeitures are going to increase if there are any. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to point that out. We had a lot of conversations about that. So it was important to see that on his worksheet.
Okay. And that's not a carryover. I mean, every year we're going to make a payment on this. Not a direct payment. We're going to add to individual accounts.
For forfeitures and add or subtract for investment returns.
When we finish with 14, that gets back to zero balance, and we start on the next year share plan. We start with zero again.
Right. There
depending upon, you know, what the excess reserve is for that given year.
Exactly. There's really three steps. The excess will get allocated to the share plan accounts, if any. Mm-hmm. The forfeitures will get allocated to the share plan accounts, if any.
Right.
And the earnings or lack of earnings will get allocated to the share accounts.
And the earnings you're talking about are on the investment that we have with the League of Cities.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So those share accounts fully participate in the same gains and losses that everybody else does. Mm-hmm.
And as a snapshot, anybody who had this list could tell what their gain loss would have been for that given year And the end column for total balance is, as I said, a snapshot, because with
it's the only market, as of that date.
That could change down the road.
Yes.
So you can't take these and stack them all up and say, this year I got that, this year I got that, and this year I got the other, in terms of interest.
Right, right. It won't be so simple for someone to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tim, you got that? Or any problem?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, Doug, I guess two things you want to talk about. You want to talk about the valuation?
Yep, that's one of them. Yep.
And you want to talk about what we're just talking about, the share plan for 2015.
Sure.
And maybe one other issue that we can discuss, and I mean, you may not have much to do with this, is the discussion we had with regard to
vesting, VTs?
No. Oh, Jesus, crackers. I'm blank. All right, we'll stay with your two for now.
All right. Well, I first, before I do the report, I've got the green
sheets. Oh, I'm sorry. I know. Okay.
Cool. Thank you.
That.
Charlie, right. I'll get these scanned, then I'll get these back to you.
Can I just see it from you?
Yeah.
This one.
Thank you, sir.
Another.
Okay. This. Of course, sorry. Okay. I think I already have this up.
Probably.
Yeah, we got it by email as well, yeah.
Yeah.
For Charlie. Okay.
All right.
Well, the answer is always the same, which is good, because, you know, that's important. The city's still at zero.
Excuse me for you. This is the defined benefit plan.
Correct. Yes. Well,
are we going to get another one for the share plan?
We can.
So I thought I said we were going to do
it. Okay. Then I'll take a note back to our office to have those made up. Okay. Yeah, we'll get those sent out.
And I'll get them back. Maybe what I'll do is I'll give you everything back together.
Okay.
All right.
Get that done. Okay. All right. Should have it open to page 5. This is the latest valuation. You know, we go through this exercise each October 1st because the actuary is always wrong. But if we were always right, we wouldn't have to come back and say, here's a report, it's good forever.
And you couldn't judge him much either.
You're right. Exactly. We're wrong. Now, I say it would probably be almost impossible to be right. You've got, say, 7 assumptions. There's a very low likelihood that any one of those assumptions you're going to exactly meet, and then just compound it out 7 times. So
feel like hitting the Powerball.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's probably about the same odds. But this plan is so well funded with state monies, and historically with investment return and high turnover. And now that the administrative expenses are beginning to scale back, now that you've got your private determination letter from the IRS and you've got your share plan in place, all of those things together are combined to still keep the city at zero. So if you look at page 5, the total dollars that need to come into the fund for the current year, that's the right-hand column, $117,326. Exactly what we told you last year with this report. We always show last year compared to this year. For fiscal 17 is the left-hand column. It's a decrease in total down to $109,250. So the state money is still frozen. That was the negotiation between the membership and the city. Everybody agreed that the city will continue to get $144,307 to help fund the plan, which, as we know, is always more than funded the plan, and the rest goes to the share plan. So we also know that in the event that the answer changes, where the city pops out to be something other than zero, something higher, that there's 2 safeguards for it. You can either first dig into the leftover reserve. Remember when we took that million point five? We withheld 20% back. And I'll show you that number again here shortly. The city could first dig into that, because remember, under new state law with the use of state monies, it's very simple for the membership in the city just to say, we both agree. And so the next year we would do the report, we would just dig into that reserve and use it, free it up, so that the city still had zero.
What's the options if there was a disagreement on that? Supposing it's the city and the pension board just disagreed on it.
Then it would... Then under state law, the 140, the reserve stays the same, and as a pension board, you would be essentially forcing the city to contribute something, but then the city could come back and change benefits or dissolve the plan.
Dissolve the plan, yeah.
And say, okay, well, we owe zero and there's no more pension plan. Okay. Because the plan is so overfunded, they could do that.
Yep.
So that's the answer.
Okay.
So if the reserve first, there's plenty in the reserve to cover it, but even if that doesn't happen, then on an annual basis, there's a lot more than $144,000 coming in. It's like $300,000 or so. And so that's why I still have the opinion that I don't see the city having a cost for this plan for a long, long time, if ever.
Yeah.
So Doug, the $144,000 number, though, couldn't that be agreed on to be increased?
Yes.
Also,
and it could be as simple as the membership in the city saying, you know, the new baseline is now 200, and everything above that goes to the share. So less would go to the share, more would go to the city to help fund the
plan.
That's
the way you can eat into the excess reserve by changing the frozen amount.
Right, because I'm just thinking from the city's standpoint, I think the city would be more likely to say, hey, don't touch our 300,000 emergency reserve, but let's up that. $144,000
That could be done.
$175,000 or something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just get it in writing that that's what you wanted to do and tell us, and the next report would reflect that.
Yep.
You would
mm-hmm.
see a $200,000, for instance.
Mm-hmm. But we're a long way away from that right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it would take a lot of years of investment returns like you got this last year to even get close to that.
Mm-hmm.
Turnover is actually more important for this plan than investment return. So, you had two primary sources of good experience, which explains part of the reason why the cost went down.
Mm-hmm.
Your four-year investment average was 8.6%.
Nice.
And we know that it was 7.65 was the assumption. Going forward, you're not going to see an 8.6 four-year average for a long time, I don't think.
The last year on that, of the four, was a negative year?
Mm-hmm.
Overall?
Yeah, when we updated the average, a negative fell off. Unfortunately, it was replaced with about a zero.
Mm-hmm.
So what fell off was replaced by a very similar number. When I come next year at this time, you're going to have a good year fall off, and who knows what it gets replaced with. And the return this last year was negative 0.18, I think we calculated, basically a zero. This year, we're more than a third of the year through the fiscal year, and we know what's going on. It's very crazy out there right now. So, but who knows how the year will settle out.
Okay.
Yeah. And the other source of credit is on the share plan. The share plan is a big portion. It's a big portion of the total liabilities of the plan, and it got credited with a negative 0.18%. All those balances were credited with a slightly negative return, but the assumption on assets was the 7.65. So the share plan actually, by giving the actual market investment return for the year, was a gain this year for the plan. Now, it can go the opposite way in the future. It could be a loss for the plan if in a year when the four-year average is, say, 8%, but the market return for the year is 12, then you would give the share plans the 12. Over time, it's a complete wash,
right?
Because we're smoothing assets in a four-year average, but we're crediting the share plans with whatever happened during the year. But if you run it out far enough in the future, whatever gains or losses you get cancel each other out. Okay? So...
How do I get my picture back here, Doug?
Let's... Right there. There. it's just, yeah, the very secure passcode for 1111.
It would be 0000.
Yes, that too. All right, let's jump over to page 8. Just so you can see an update on the total liabilities of the plan.
How am I getting to page 8?
This white screen.
Gotcha. Yeah,
page numbers are on the bottom right.
I see it.
Right-hand column at the bottom, the total liabilities with last year's report, 2014, was that $3.3 million. Mm-hmm. That number is our opinion of what you need to invest today at the 7.65% to pay for every future check ever to be cashed in this plan. Okay, and that also includes the holdback reserve for the city and the share plan. So as of 10-1-14, let's look at towards the bottom. The city reserve was $301,147, mm-hmm. and the share plan balances were $1.2 million. Mm-hmm. Jump over the left-hand column, we still have the exact same city reserve. We're not going to change that at all, mm-hmm. until some new agreement's made. But you can see the share plan balances have decreased. Mm-hmm. Down to 951, and that's primarily because a lot of was paid out to the retirees. That the first share plan that was created, the current retirees got a part of the pie. Now we know going forward they don't. The only reason that any retirees will continue to get something this year and maybe next is just the rollover. Remember, there's a limitation on how much you can pull out of the plan,
mm-hmm.
and we just keep rolling it over. So there's a little bit left over for some of the retirees, but this is the big year when you see an outflow like that from 1.2 down to 951.
I would have thought that number would have been a lot smaller.
The 951?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Of course, the bulk of that didn't go to the current employees that went to the retirement.
Right.
And it was the accumulation of 16 years.
Correct.
Of stuff. And
yep.
Not
everybody got a
payout. 1.5 million and 300 of that went to the city. So it was 1.2 million. And that first payment, I would have thought,
I
don't doubt your number. Sorry.
Yeah, we can look at the reconciling. If go to page 24, and this is the accounting that we'll do going forward for the share plan. Page 24. We'll show an accounting because it's a reserve that we're mm-hmm. holding.
Yeah, I think what you're missing, I understand what you're saying, but what you're missing is we actually added to the total share plan this year also. So it's really the net of what went out and what came in. And I think you'll see that on this chart, Charlie.
Yeah, let's run through that. It started the year at the 1.2 million. That was the startup, 80% of 1.5. We added 180,000 in new state money.
Invested them,
right? Yeah. Okay,
that was the residual.
Yeah.
Small net loss on investments, $2,100. And then there was $428,000 in outflow. That was the payout to the retirees. Then the expense for administering the share plan, $3,000. So you do the additions and subtractions, and that's where you end up with the 951.
Okay.
So next year we'll start with the 951. We'll add with new estate monies. We'll add investment earnings, positive or negative. There'll be an outflow. But you're not going to see a $428,000 outflow this
year. Because of the additions.
Yeah. So depending on what the market does this year, I wouldn't be surprised to see the share plan actually get back up over $1 million this next year, just depending on what the earnings will be. Okay? I think where I can finish up is, let's just jump back to page 9 and look at your updated funded ratios. To see they've improved again. Halfway down, it's called the AVA over AL method. That's the one that is used for the media when they want to write stories about defined benefit plans and what's the funded status. And they assign grades. It's a mindless exercise, but you know, A, B, C, D, and so on. You like to see 80%. Well, you're at 138, and a year ago it was 126. so it actually increased. So your unfunded liability just above it is a negative $1 million. That means this pension plan continues to be a credit for the city. Now that the city has to book the net liability on its balance sheets rather than just a footnote, this pension plan is an asset to the city. The other funded ratios towards the bottom, that's as if you froze benefits. You look at market value of assets, fair, you know, not smooth, but just fair market in the bank compared to promised benefits. It's 160%. You want that to be 100. What's surprising is it actually increased this last year, even though you lost money in the market compared to 7.65, you got a negative 0.18. Every other plan I've done this year, that funded ratio at the bottom has decreased. Yours increased, and that's because of turnover. Okay?
I'll keep up the good work.
I was just going to say that. there's an incentive here.
Clean house last
and the very final thing I'll show you is page 10. Go towards the top under administrative expense. There's the thing we've been waiting for. It went down. Mm-hmm. Was $67,985. That includes interest. Now it's down to $46,000. That's just a reimbursement back to the plan for actuarial and legal fees primarily. And because we're all settled out with a private determination letter and we finally got all of the new reporting, the GASB reporting and the new state compliance reporting that we have to do, that was a big jump in 1 year and now it's settled out. So
the administrative expense per end with interest, what is that with interest?
Well, the actual administrative expense that is to be reimbursed is $41,443.
Yeah.
So the interest that we would hit it with is half of the 7.65, because we know that the plan is that the money does not flow in at the very beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. In fact, the state money comes in more towards the end of the year. So we have to hit all of the funding pieces with assumed interest, knowing that if we knew the state money came in every year right in October, then we wouldn't have to mm-hmm. do an interest load.
I guess, in other words, we don't actually pay that. It's just required for this calculation.
Right.
Is really what
the state money is paying for right. it.
Yeah, but the $46,199 includes that.
Correct.
Yeah.
But Doug has to do that in order to.
It's just a standard methodology that's expected, that if whatever source of contribution that flows in is not happening very early in the year, the state requires that we put an interest load on all of the charges. So that's the report. Happy to answer other questions, but the answer is the same. The city is zero, and it's even more of a zero. That's can be the case. And last year.
It's possible you're even a bigger zero.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bigger buffer.
Yeah, you can't kill us.
We need more people to join, Charlie.
No.
Yes.
Because they leave earlier.
You know.
So that number, the more that happens, the higher
people,
it grows.
We need people to join and stay.
And
how's
stay,
that?
Yeah.
How's that?
These plans work really in a way that's recommended by investment people. It's just that most people, if they were individually doing it, wouldn't. And that is, we all know you're losing money. You lost money last year, and right now you're losing money, but there's state contributions flowing into this that's more than necessary to fund the plan. It's that money should be buying stocks right now.
Right.
That's what you want to do. Things are cheap.
Now.
That's when you want to buy it. Most people on their own would freak out and start cashing in and trying to time the market. What's happening with this plan is it's being forced to buy stocks as they're getting cheaper. So that's one.
Is that
of the
what the league is doing?
Yeah, this money is flowing in, and the league, they should still be. You've told them what your investment policy is. Is it 60-40?
Yeah.
They're taking these monies, and hopefully they're doing what is good, prudent investment strategy, and they're buying right now.
Okay. Yeah, Charlie, I had a professional coach one time when we were talking about investments that came in, and he brought a can of tuna fish in to my office, and he said, "Well, what would you pay for this can of tuna fish?" I'm like, "I really don't care for tuna fish." Yeah. He goes, "Well, assume you like tuna fish." I said, "I don't know, it's about a buck a can." Yeah. He goes, "That's right." He goes, so what? How much tuna fish would you buy if it suddenly went up to $5 a can? Well, none. Mm-hmm. Well, how much tuna fish would you buy if it was four cans for a dollar? Well, you'd stock up, mm-hmm. and you'd buy tuna fish at four cans for a dollar. And his point was, people don't do that when they buy stocks. Yeah. When they're high, everybody buys when it's $5 a can, right. and everybody sells when it's four for a dollar, and it should be the opposite. And it was an excellent analogy as to, you know, the kind of the emotional side of, psychological side of buying stocks, that how we don't think the same way we do in our everyday lives about buy something while it's cheap, you know, as opposed to buy it when it's expensive.
Yep. So that's what's going on with this plan now. There's even more money coming in than is necessary in the last year, and that money's still being invested, and it's being invested at the right time.
That's good. Okay. You done with that?
I'm all done.
Yep. Let me ask you a question. It's just to clear something up my head on the interest of this stuff.
That's a big question, Charlie.
This is a hypothetical example. The numbers are close. It's distribution of investment interest. We have a total distribution that's broken up into two parts. You know, we get the first premium distribution, and then we get the supplemental. So let's assume that was $300,000 combined. Okay. Okay. So we have available for the plan $300,000 for that year. Okay. Our costs, I'm saying here, were $120,000.
Okay.
The frozen amount, the $145,000. And the available, after the frozen amount is taken away, is $155,000. Mm-hmm. So we have an excess available for plant administration within the frozen amount. We're only using $120,000 of the $145,000. Mm-hmm. So that's $25,000 is excess mm-hmm. to the plant administrative cost.
Yep.
So we send that $25,000 to the league for investment. Is that correct?
In essence,
they've got the money.
In essence, yeah.
Yeah, they've
in
got
essence,
the money, but yeah, that's how
that's it's like an accounting
okay.
of it, yeah.
So of the $155,000, that's excess available for plan improvement only. That's what that amount is, right?
Well, now it goes right into the share plan.
I mean,
right now it's just the share plan.
Yeah, but just... for the moment, that's what it's for.
But it is being invested.
Right? And it is being invested mm-hmm. as money that's used for plan improvement only. Now that is
yeah.
for the members.
All the monies are being put in.
So we have $155,000 to the league for investment.
Yep.
Okay. My question. When calculating planned defined benefit funding with anticipated investment earnings of 7%. Okay, and we're in between 6 and 8.
Okay.
When you're figuring out the defined benefit, and we say, okay, we're looking at 7% earnings on that, and you need 7% earnings in order to be able to say your plan is funded out till the end of the plan,
yeah.
right? Is that based on the $25,000, or is it also based on the $155,000?
Everything.
It's on everything. So when excess... reserve plan improvement only investment earnings are accumulated, are they deemed to be considered for plan improvement only? That's my question. In other words, if this is for plan improvement only, mm-hmm. is the interest on that amount for plan improvement only? But I think what you're telling me is
no,
because you're using the interest off of this.
Total earnings is...
Total earnings.
Right. We don't separately account and say we...
you.
Is it fair to say, Doug, that we look at all the money as one pool?
Yes.
Yeah. We take our earnings on that pool, or loss, and we apply it to every component
right.
of the pool.
Right. Every participant gets
every
their share.
Every participant gets their share. The defined benefit portion gets their share. Any excess
right,
money gets their share.
My mistake is trying to split the interest up.
Right.
Yeah.
I can say that since $155,000 of that is for plan improvement only, follows that the interest is for only plan improvement.
That's essentially what happens, though.
That's the net result because that plan improvement is going to a share, and the share plan gets whatever the plan gets as far as earnings. Mm-hmm. Now, if that was done for something other than a share, let's say your multiplier was something higher than $65. Let's say it became 75 or 85 or whatever. Then the excess earnings would just stay in the plan, and you get a $75 or an $85 per year benefit, period. Mm. But when you take those excess monies and put it into a share plan, that goes exactly to everybody's balance. You either get positive earnings or negative. But the way we calculate is earnings are earnings on the entire commingled pot of money.
Before it's
distributed. We don't break it out separately.
And everybody in that pot gets their portion of the earnings.
Correct.
Essentially.
Right, you're all satisfied with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Interesting
question. Yeah. No, you take a look at this schedule, that kind of lays it out. The way it's split up participant by participant. Okay.
So you were an accountant in a previous life, right?
No, I don't know any of this stuff.
What was your...
I understand 20% of what you said.
pretty good questions, though. It's,
Charlie, it's actually written in the ordinance that way, that whatever the pool gets, the share plan money.
Yeah, but I could read that as applying to $25,000 only. I understand I'm a minority in this discussion. But the $155,000 was initially defined for plan improvement only. $155,000, plan improvement only. If I make money on that, why wouldn't that also be categorized for plan improvement only?
It is. Mm-hmm. Well, there is no more plan improvement more money, though, Charlie, because we said anything that we don't need goes into the share plan. So there is no more plan improvement only bucket anymore.
Anything in the share plan is plan improvement only. That's the only thing that goes in there.
Well, anything in the share plan is not for plan improvement anymore. It's for the individuals.
It's already improved the plan.
Yeah.
The individuals that are participating, there goes into their accounts. It's not...
Okay.
We can't use it for improvement anymore.
Surrender.
I understand.
The only time it's reallocated is if they're not vested and they have to redistribute it. That's the only time it's redistributed.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Anybody have any other questions on this? Are you satisfied with the evaluation plan?
Good.
Okay. Are we supposed to take a motion to...
Approve
the plan?
Please.
Yeah, I'll make the motion to approve.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. One missing.
Aye.
Yeah. Okay, aye.
I made the motion.
I said so.
I make the motion. No, I disapprove.
Right.
Yeah, no, you can't do that.
It seems like a conflict of interest in me.
Doug, you have nothing else you want to add to that? And Chris, you have nothing else that you want to probe on that?
Okay. No. Just kind of an aside, one of the things Doug had mentioned about the plan asset and the changes in the accounting rules, that the city's financial statements actually have to include going forward whether there is a plan asset or a plan liability on their books, along with... I have to say, basically the entire actuarial report rewritten into the financial statements. So it's a big deal this year for governmental financial statements that have defined benefit plans. It has zero impact on the city's overall financial picture from a materiality standpoint. But you may hear it mentioned by the auditors when they do their auditor's report, but there's not going to be any discussion items as it relates to this, because it just doesn't it doesn't amount to enough to talk about it on the city's financial statement.
Okay. Yeah, that means you're way under the radar.
That's right.
Yes, you're way under the radar.
Yeah, but should there be any probe for whatever reason, I think we wanted to make sure that, you know, we're...
Well, the benefit is that it'll show as a city asset, like Doug had said. So probably no one will look past the fact that, it's a city asset, okay, we're good.
Yeah.
You know.
One issue I have with, not an issue, on your share plan for 2015, and I discussed that with you, and that has to do with Gil Rolka.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
And Gil Rolka, you say here, would run out at the same time as Santiago did, the exception being that since we interpret the ordinance to say that if you retire on the 30th of September or 1st of November, that you get the next year. So Gil gets 2016.
Yep.
And
yep.
then he's out.
Yeah, you and I talked earlier in the week.
Right.
And we've got a big note in our file to make sure he gets one more allocation next year.
Okay.
Yep.
And since that's in the ordinance and we're interpreting that, I don't think we need to have a motion from the board on that issue.
I think it's fine. We've got it notated, unless there's disagreement here.
Chris, you got that? On Gil Roca. He
that was in the letter, right?
Yeah, right. On the first page of the letter, last column in column L, last paragraph.
So this is in other words, Roca and Santiago are done as far as their dollar.
Well, Santiago is definitely done.
Roca
is last year, and we thought that because Roca had terminated a day earlier than Santiago, that he fell into the full-on retiree category. But Charlie and I talked, and because it's a little unclear in the ordinance whether there's a difference between a September 30th and an October 1st.
Yeah, no, but it states in there, September 30th.
Okay,
that's
what
it says in the past.
So
September 30th or November 1st.
We're fine
giving
Roca one more allocation next year.
So all right,
he'll be
good.
Treated like an unnatural.
And you're going to take care of that. So
yeah, but I checked the other day, and we've got a big note in the file. And so we're
just make sure. So Santiago, he already got one distribution.
And on here, he got one last year.
And he's got
and he got one final one in this one. Now he's a full-on retiree from this point forward. So he won't. Santiago will not get any more.
Roca, however, will.
Roca will get one more. He'll be treated like Santiago was this year. He'll get one more distribution next year as under the definition of recent retiree.
Yeah.
So let me just make sure I understand what amount he should get this current year, Roca. So I got to coordinate with the league to make sure that they're paying him out. You know, that he's getting his this year's number.
Yeah, well, this year we said he would double up. He would get the distribution due as of 2014. Plus, since he hasn't retired, in 14, he gets this year. So the number that you're going to talk to the league about is going to be what he would have gotten on the 2014 distribution and what the 2015 share will be. And you can calculate what the next 2016 share is going to be.
Yeah, there should be a balance on there for him. Like
so his vested
else.
Balance here is 33,000.
22,473. Oh, that's initial.
So he's allowed 18,000.
Yeah, he's his balance as of 9/30/15.
Is
the 33,248.64.
Okay, he's allowed a maximum of 18. His annual benefit's 43,33.
Yeah. So
he can get about $13,000, right? Because I got to subtract his normal annual benefit out of that.
Correct. It's the 18 minus
the 43.
Correct.
Okay.
So yeah, 13,6 something.
Okay, so I'll coordinate with the league then that he can get that now.
Yeah. Correct.
Right.
And then he'll have another.
We'll roll over the difference and then add to it earnings, forfeitures, and new state monies one more time next year.
Okay, and then he'll roll. And then in the meantime, Santiago's number is final.
Yep,
correct.
His 19,983. So he's going to go
15
another couple.
Minus 35.
Okay, so then he's going to carry to the following year also.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. But he won't get a new allocation next year.
Right. His number is done.
Yeah.
He gets this year and that's it.
Yep. No, I got you. Okay. I'll double check with those guys.
Also, if you're doing that, when will Roca get to see his overall distribution? Will it start now?
Well, if Scott's Doug's going to do the green sheet.
Yeah.
For September 30th, so he'll see what's in there through the September 30th amount.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll be able to see that.
Yeah. And when does he's
when due, does the money start? You
when
mean?
Does he get the money?
I have to contact the league and let him know.
But it's something we can initiate right now.
Yeah.
He can get his total sum when they start to make distribution on the share for.
Well, he'll get a distribution of roughly $13,700. Mm-hmm. That'll be available to him as soon as I tell the league it's available.
Okay, that's what I meant. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Fine.
Well, should he have gotten his first check in the last quarter, and then letting that last check on the first quarter of the 2015?
No, he didn't retire until 2015.
Correct, but that's the last year.
Yeah, but when we...
That's 9/30/2015, so he should have gotten the distribution.
Well, the calculation was just done.
Okay.
Yeah, we have to... When someone does that, we have to wait until all these calculations and forfeitures are done to know what the amount is.
He didn't get anything yet.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm just saying I didn't know if it would have happened that quickly. But,
yeah, but he can get his first chunk as soon as I talk to the league.
As limited by the $3,000 mm-hmm. per annum.
Yep.
Okay. Okay,
yep.
Good. Anybody else have any questions? Thank you, Doug. Any? John?
Okay.
Bob?
No, I don't think so. Do we need to say anything about the or approve the this note on the Gatsby 67, et cetera?
No. Your job is to approve the funding part.
Okay.
The Gatsby we include with it. The 67 is for plan accounting, 68 is for city, but you don't have to. You implicitly approve the Gatsby when you approve the valuation.
Okay.
Yeah, the interesting thing is that the Gatsby 67 is for the plans themselves. If they issued their own financial statements, financial reports, which our plan doesn't, it's kind of blended with the city's financial statements. And then 68 is what the city needs to put in their financial statements about the plan. So in our particular case, the blending of the two of those has to happen because we're doing the plan reporting and the city reporting simultaneously in the city financial statements.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that means a lot of nothing to most people, other than it was a lot of hair pulling and
this gas patch is 68 this year. It's just the tiger by the tail, but there's nothing anybody can do about it.
Basically it takes Doug's report and twists it all around and regurgitates it again. I mean, I actually commented that I just think we should add the actuarial report as another tab to the financial statement, so if anybody wanted to see it, it would be right there. Instead of rewriting it again, mm-hmm. Kind of thing. But what it's done is it's really increased the fees on Doug's side, on our auditor's side, increased the amount of time it takes us to do all of this work for something that already existed, essentially. So
we're not looking for any changes, and we're satisfied with the way things are going. And
as far as that goes, there's nothing, no issues.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Motion to end.
Make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.